The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. Almost said triangle, sorry about that. For the next hour, I shall read to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. And the first article in the Reader's Digest today is A Life Well Lived. Will you be my grandparents? Bill and Arlene were most amazing neighbors ever. I've got a certificate on my wall to prove it. And there's a picture of a gentleman on a what looks like a power mower in the middle of winter with a little girl stringing around this thing, and it's dated 1997. There's another picture of a young woman, teenager, with an older woman, big smiles on both her faces, dated 2008. And then there's the same gentleman, I believe, but considerably older, as long as the young woman is also somewhat older, 10 years older, and sitting in there in a restaurant, it looks like, both smiling. And then that's dated 2018. There's also one picture of the couple from 1996 and a little girl, probably about 10 years old, from 1996, and another one of the young woman at 2020. I was just the three of us, my parents and me. My dad is a truck driver, and when I was little, he was gone most of the time, delivering barbed wire and other livestock supplies around the Midwest. So my mom was also like a single mother. We lived in a small town in Brighton, Colorado, in a neighborhood of 1970 ranch houses. We had red shag carpeting and wood paneling and faux brick in the finished part of the basement, and a big yard with plenty of room for our five dogs and two cats to run around. We moved there on my third birthday. My first memory is our neighbor Arlene handing me strawberries from her garden through a hole in the chain-link fence. She and her husband Bill lived next door. Arlene spent a lot of time working in the garden, and I was always talking to her from our yard. I was a chatterbox. I think what drew me to Arlene and Bill is that they never got tired of listening to me gab. I also think Arlene saw a lot of herself in me. We were both lonely and anxious kids, and that may be why she always took time to listen to me. Bill, too. He was a wonderful connection. There weren't any kids my age in the neighborhood, so I mostly played in the yard with the dogs. I had a lot of imaginary friends, a whole family, actually, with a husband, in-laws, his children, and a best friend. No joke. Weird kid. One day, my parents asked Bill and Arlene whether they would watch me while they went on a date. This worked well for everyone, so it became somewhat monthly occurrence. Arlene and Bill didn't have kids. They had a spare room in their house, which became my room. I had a cabinet and boxes of toys and books in that room. Arlene and I would do crafts together. We were always putting tiny sequins on things. Bill taught me how to ride a bike and later how to drive the lawn tractor and eventually a car, stick and automatic. He was always fixing something in his garage and always smelled like oil. I would wander over to chatter at him, and he would always stop and listen to me, just like Arlene did. When I was about five, I had an idea. My parents were watching TV when I spit it out. What if I adopted Bill and Arlene as my grandparents? There's a certificate of adoption, obviously printed on a computer, for Arlene and Bill. How cute is that? My parents said I could go over and ask them tomorrow. The next day, I knocked on Bill and Arlene's door, sat down in their living room, and said, "Will you guys be my grandparents?" They started crying and enthusiastically accepted. Soon after, they printed out an adoption certificate and hung on their living room wall from then on. I remember being surprised. Excuse me, a computer just blipped. I remember being surprised that they took my offer so seriously. Not because I wasn't serious, but because I was just a kid. They could have laughed it off. Thinking of that moment still brings tears to my eyes. There is something truly magnificent about a child offering up her love and adults being so ecstatic to accept it. Every child in this world deserves enthusiastic and reciprocated love. From the day I adopted them, I called Bill and Arlene Grandpa and Grandma. Pretty soon, my parents were calling them Mom and Dad. Even our animals loved Bill and Arlene and would often sneak out of our yard to go visit them. Arlene always kept treats in her pockets for them. In the winter, Bill would attach a snowplow to the front of the lawn tractor, and we would plow the block and all the neighbors' driveways together. One of my first times on the tractor, I plowed down our chain-link fence, and Bill just chuckled in his laid-back way. We eventually placed it with a nice, tall wooden privacy fence. My dad and Bill installed it together. and cut a small gate in the top of one section so we could open it and still chat. They also added a window at the bottom for the dogs. Over the year, Bill and Arlene House supported me in all my dreams. They encouraged me to apply for college, even though I didn't have the money to go. And when I got accepted to Colorado State University, they presented me with a fund. They told me that they'd been putting away money since the day I adopted them. It took me 5 years, but I graduated with a degree in forest management, and I now work as a forest health technician for the Colorado State Forest Service. Since I've become an adult, I've learned more about my grandparents. They both grew up poor. Bill's mother died when he was 8, and he and his siblings, there were 8 of them, went to live with relatives. Arlene had some health problems and struggled with alcoholism when she was young. Their lives weren't as perfect as they appeared to be through the fence. But the two of them always seemed genuinely happy in each other's company. Bill told me that once on a trip in their RV, he listened to Arlene talk about raising honeybees for 200 miles, and he never sighed to the sound of her voice. Arlene passed away in 2013, 2 days before our adoption anniversary. Bill gave her eulogy. At the end, he said, "Arlene leaves behind her husband, Bill, and the greatest joy of her life, her granddaughter, Katie." After the funeral, Bill gave me the ring he'd gifted to Arlene on her 25th wedding anniversary. It's a simple gold band that I wear on my ring finger as a reminder of the kind of love I wish to put into this world. Wow. A bird's eye view. During the coronavirus shutdown in Missouri, museum officials saddened by their empty galleries and zookeepers worried about their bored animals, hit upon an ingenious solution: letting some of the tamer, more inquisitive animals out to look at the art. That's how 3 penguins from the Kansas City Zoo found themselves perusing the galleries of the nearby Nelson Atkins Museum of Art in May. One development that surprised all the humans involved: penguins prefer Caravaggio to Monet. Now that's funny. 13 things. Surprising facts about the U.S. Army. Well, this would be interesting, consider I'm a Marine. Number 1. Congress officially established the Army in September 1789, but since the Continental Army was formed in 1775, the U.S. Army is technically older than the country it serves. Today, the Army has nearly 500,000 active-duty troops and another 200,000 in reserves, which make it the second biggest employer in the United States after Walmart. Number 2. All Army recruits must pass the basic training physical fitness test to complete boot camp. But to join the Army, you must also run 5 miles in under 40 minutes. Army Rangers, you must also run 5 miles in under 40 minutes and hike 16 miles while toting an extra 65 pounds in less than 5 hours and 20 minutes, and swim 15 meters in full Ranger gear. The swim isn't timed, however. This isn't the Navy. Number 3. West Point cadets receive a class ranking based on their academic and athletic performance. George Custer, class of 1861, graduated last in his year. Rankings don't always determine military success or failure. Robert E. Lee graduated second in his class. By contrast, Dwight D. Eisenhower was 61st. Number 4. Prior to 1933, members of the 45th Infantry Division wore a Native American symbol of good luck as a nod to the many Native Americans who served in that division. Now commonly referred to as a swastika, the original insignia was abandoned as the Nazi Party rose to power. Today, members wear a different Native American symbol, a thunderbird. Number 5. There have been only 5 five-star generals. The rank didn't exist until 1944 and was retired in 1981, when the last living one, Omar Bradley, died. 2 presidents held the title, Eisenhower and George Washington, who was promoted posthumously. The other 2 were Douglas MacArthur and George C. Marshall. Number 6. Marshall had a sweet spot for his soldiers. On behalf of Eisenhower, he sent a telegram in 1943 from the Allied headquarters in North Africa to the Coca-Cola Company, requesting to soft drinks for his troops. Within months, 148 Coke representatives filled their ranks with the official title of Technical Observer, although they were nicknamed Coca-Cola Colonels. They wore fatigues and were paid as commissioned officers, but they had one responsibility: getting Cokes to the American GIs. Number 7. The Green Beret wasn't part of the Special Forces uniform until 1961. After President John F. Kennedy visited Fort Bragg in North Carolina, noticed an officer wearing one. Kennedy thought that the members of this elite team needed something to distinguish them from other soldiers, and made the green covering their official headgear. At Kennedy's funeral, Command Sergeant Major Francis Rudy placed his beret on the president's grave, a tradition that Green Berets visiting Arlington National Cemetery continue to do today. Number 8. Kennedy's death also affected the 1963 Army-Navy football game. The nation was officially in mourning for 30 days, and a game would have been deemed disrespectful. But the president himself had been scheduled to attend, and the Kennedy family personally requested it go on. JFK's beloved Navy won. Number 9. The first woman to serve in the Army, Deborah Sampson, posed as a man in order to enlist in 1781. She sustained multiple injuries in battle, but often treated them herself to avoid detection, including removing a pistol ball from her own thigh. When her identity was finally revealed after she had been hospitalized and lost consciousness, General Henry Knox authorized her honorable discharge. After Sampson's death, Congress granted her husband a widow's pension. That's interesting. I never knew that. That's cool. Number 10. Over the years, the Army has adopted many official songs, including one written by John Philip Sousa, the Field Artillery Song. The Army held a contest in 1948 to replace it, but no winner was selected. In 1952, they tried again, this time asking the music industry to submit the songs. The winner, The Army's Always There, lasted only 4 years. Many people thought it sounded too much like I've Got a Loving Bunch of Coconuts. And by the way, John Philip Sousa, in case you didn't know, was actually the head of the Marine Corps band. 11. The Army encourages some dissonance, at least in the University of Foreign Military and Cultural Studies at Fort Leavenworth in Kansas. Students there are trained in groupthink mitigation, playing devil's advocate to improve military planning and decision-making processes. Graduates of the program are called Red Teamers. Number 12. Germany is home to 8 U.S. Army bases, more than any single U.S. state, including the largest overseas garrison in the world, USAG Bavaria. Stateside, Virginia has the most bases, including the home of the oldest active duty infantry unit in the Army. Fort Bragg is the country's largest Army base. Number 13. There are hundreds of dogs in the Army, and they are all non-commissioned officers. The Army also still uses horses, which last saw combat in 2001. That's interesting. During the invasion of Afghanistan. Actually, there was a movie called The Horse Soldiers that was about that. More recently, the Army has been using equine-assisted therapy to help returning soldiers and their families reconnect with past deployment. And they're also, of course, used for caissons for funerals at Walter Reed. And how about all in a day's work? And there's a gentleman sitting behind a desk and a young woman sitting across from him in this cartoon. And he says to her, "You have an incredible ability to cut through the noise and get to the truth. We need you to stop doing that." During a summer camp sing-along around the campfire, I grabbed my guitar and accompanied the kids. After 5 or 6 songs, I asked, "Okay, what should we sing next?" One 10-year-old requested a cappella. Client, there are 4 dots above the word sensitivities in this design. What are they doing there? Those are the dots on the eyes. A woman came to our funeral home asking for help finding family members' burial site. It took me a few minutes to look up the information and longer to walk to and locate the actual plot. The woman, now tired and winded, decided, "You know, this would be a whole lot easier if you just put them in alphabetical order." I was browsing the men's department at Neiman Marcus when a knitted black designer blazer caught my eye. Although the tag said it was on sale, it still cost more than I cared to spend. Tempting fate, I tried it on. Just then a saleswoman approached. "It fits you perfectly," she said. "Yes, but I really don't need it." Without missing a beat, she replied, "We don't sell things that people need." Customers can take advantage of a generous return policy at REI, the camping gear company. How generous? Here are return claims excuses that employees have had to deal with. "I dried these boots by the fire and the soles melted." "I bought a different car and this roof rack doesn't fit it." "A bear slashed my tent." Well, that's a pretty good one. "EMTs cut my jacket." That one too. "These river sandals aren't sexy enough." I don't know about that one. The meeting will come to disorder. In a work from home meeting at my Google Home just answered a question someone on the video call asked. Well, that's interesting. Not muting your mic is a new reply all. Names to use when logging into a Zoom meeting. Corrine Teen, Noah Open Store, Liam Alone, Maya Snackers Are Gone, Loretta Free Time. There's awkward, and then there's the Zoom meeting is over, and one other person can't figure out how to leave the meeting. That's awkward. The original Zoom meeting, of course, is Hollywood thing. My husband working from home and just shouted from the living room, "I'm going into a video meeting," so I jokingly shouted back, "I guess I should put a shirt on," and then he finishes his sentence, "and they can hear you." We found a fix, 9 tricks to improve your life. And there's a picture of a cat looking at 2 of those red plastic cups turned upside down. Test your kitty's IQ. A study from annual behaviorist Adam Michelosi found that some cats can override their natural instincts and follow their master's direction when searching for food. Put 1 opaque cup on your left and 1 to your right, leaving a treat under only 1. Point to the cup you want your cat to go randomly, alternating between the one with the treat and the one without. Give her a treat only when she goes to the one you point to. If she follows you instead of her nose 7 out of 10 times, your tabby has aced the test. That's funny. Like you can convince a cat to do anything. Number 2, get rid of sweaty feet. Unless you want to sing a stinky sneaker contest for... See this issue, I won for a girl who actually did. We'll have to check that out later. Sweaty feet aren't great for your shoes or your tootsies. A swipe of antiperspirant across the toe knuckles and soles of your feet can help keep odor and moisture at bay. If you use a stick or roll-on, keep a separate one for your feet to avoid any bacterial transfer to your underarms. Number 3, zap your veggies. While not as epicurean as roasting or sautéing, microwave your vegetables might be the best option for your health. Veggies retain more nutrients when they are exposed to less heat and water. As with stovetop steaming, microwaving them preserves more vitamin C and cancer-fighting gluconate than other methods. Make your own jar gripper. An old tennis ball can become the perfect tool to use on stubborn twist-off bottle caps or sticky jar lids. The rubber inside can grip tops in large and small, and the soft exterior eases the strain on your hand. To make one, use a utility knife or a box cutter to cut the ball in half. Interesting. Number 5, set your phone for deeper sleep. The blue light emitted by your smart device is the same kind that comes from the sun, so staring at your screen suppresses melatonin production and inhibits sleep. To reduce blue light exposure without minimizing screen time, go to settings on your Apple device, then display and brightness, and turn on the night shift. For Androids, look for nightlight or blue light filter. Number 6, beware the wet thumb. If you top off your tires at a service station, check to see whether there is any moisture coming from the air pump. Simply depress the pin on the interior valve with your thumb. If your thumb gets wet, advise the station manager that the tanks need to be drained and go to a different station. Moisture trapped inside a tire can cause pressure variations and corrode rims. Unclog your shower head. Cleaning to remove hard water buildup, pour white distilled vinegar into a plastic bag and tie it around the shower arm so the head is completely submerged. Leave it overnight and the shower head will spray like new in the morning. Well, that's interesting. For brass, gold, or nickel fingers, soak for only 30 minutes to avoid ruining the finish. Buy some time at 0%. From unemployment to unexpected expenses, periods of financial insecurity can hit most anyone. If you have good credit and need to temporarily improve your cash flow, consider getting a card with a 0% introductory annual percentage rate. Many credit cards have interest-free periods of a year or longer. You have to make the minimum monthly payment, but can spread out impact and flatten the curve of your expenses. Number 9, prevent a dull razor. Oxidation can dull your blades, but mineral oil will stop the process and keep them sharper longer. After shaving, soak your razor for a few minutes in a shallow dish of mineral oil, then use rubbing alcohol to clean the blades. And here it is. I won the Rotten Sneaker Contest by Seneca Solcomb, age 17, from Eagle River, Alaska. How did your shoes get... And there's a cartoon of the young lady holding her very stinky shoe out. How did your shoes get so stinky? My neighbor was cleaning out his fishing boat, and a bucket of year-old shrimp bait spilled into my sneakers. I had worn them without socks for years, and they were falling apart, so I thought it would be fun to enter them in a contest. Please don't say that you wore them after that. I never wore them to school after that, but I did wear them hiking and fishing. My mom didn't let me keep them in the house after the shrimp bait incident, so I kept them in our shed. Your poor mother. She is very supportive. My brother won this contest a few years ago. What brave souls judge this? Dr. Rachel Hertz has decided to smell another judge as a certified sniffer from NASA. Dr. Hertz said my shoes had the infective terrible stick, fish odor, dog poop, my dog had gotten to them, and bird poop. They sound positively toxic. How did you get them through airport security to get to the competition? We FedExed them. Is the smell-proof box? I used a garbage bag, multiple levels of plastic. Are you now famous at school? A lot of teachers like to tease me about it, especially my gym teachers. They're like, clean your sneakers. We don't want to have another national-level stink at our school. Food on your plate. I am almonds, the health nut, only not. If you ever seen a harvest machine shake my tree, sending almond fruit spraying into the sky like an explosion of glittering confetti, I recommended Googling it for a small thrill. Then the next time you encounter a farmer who calls his wares almonds, you understand the joke when he tells it. They always tell the joke. They're almonds, A-L-M-O-N-D-S, in the tree, and almonds, A-M-M-O-N-D-S, on the ground, because they're shaking the L out of them. That's funny. In California, not everyone appreciates a good almond joke. In the past several years, almond growers in the water-starved Golden State have caught flack for contributing to low river levels and endangering fish, among other things. In my defense, I'm far from the only water-hungry crop, and assure humans who have turned me and my milk and butters into a healthy fetish, incentivizing farmers to harvest more of me every year. And by the way, you admire me for more than my produce. Anyone who has watched a grove of bloom into stunning pale pink during the early spring can plainly see why I've been a symbol of light and vitality throughout history. In Greek mythology, the nymph goddess Nana became pregnant when an almond fell out of the tree and onto her lap. In Judaism, the menorah that God decreed to Moses was to have almond blossoms on each of its branches. Up close, an almond tree looks as if it's loaded with immature peaches, green fuzzy ovoid. That's because though you call me a nut, botanically I am the seed of a fleshy fruit. While my exterior never gets as fleshy as a peach's, I am otherwise unmistakably peach-like, and as my closest cousin, farmers let my fruit dry on the tree till it splits, exposing the pit within. It has the same pocked appearance as a peach pit, and just like a peach pit, if you crack it open, you'll see a seed inside. That's me. As interest in plant-based eating has soared, you've especially availed yourself of sweet almonds, the most common kind, which are consumed raw and roasted, whole with my skin slivered and dried, sliced, crushed into meal and flour, and as rich, luxurious butter. You appreciate my milk, too. And unless you dismiss that as a craze of the 2000, it actually dates back to at least the 13th century when it was sipped and used as an ingredient in cooking in medieval Europe and in the Middle East. I like to recall that sweet, nutty, simmered concoction of yore. My current liquid iterization is processed, pasteurized, and adulterated with emulsifiers, and stabilized to the point that its almond flavor is faint. Why, then, have you made almond milk so popular that it constitutes two-thirds of the non-dairy milk market? Google me again, and the one reason comes up over and over and over. You learned how exceptionally good I am for you. People who consume me apparently seem to have an easier time with weight maintenance, and a lower risk of Alzheimer's and some cancers. Credit my high fiber, healthy fats, and mother load of vitamin E. If you were to compare me with a walnut, a health haloed peer of mine, you'd find I'm higher in fiber and protein and lower in fat, though if I'm honest, walnuts would have plenty to say about the superior omega-3s and mineral content. You may be instinctively smart to prefer me not too almondy, lest I harm you. To understand why, let's return to peaches. If you ate a peach seed, you would notice right away that it's intensely bitter and tastes like a swig from a bottle of almond extract. Turns out my far lesser grown sibling, the bitter almond, has the same effect for the same reason. It, too, is overloaded with the chemical amygdalin, part of the chemical defense system to discourage animals from eating my seed. If my seed gets chewed up, I can't germinate and sprout a tree. But amygdalin breaks down into two molecules that are like Jekyll and Hyde to you. Benzaldehyde, which carries that super strong almond flavor, and hydrocyanic acid, which causes cyanide poisoning. One study found that 50 bitter almonds could kill an adult. Just a few can kill a child. Hence the human preference for the sweet almonds, obviously, which are bred to have a much lower levels of amygdalin and almondine safety muted. Manufacturers can deactivate hydrocyanic acid via heating process. That's what they do to bitter almonds to create the almond extract used in baking all around the world, and to give real marzipan its trademark punch. Same with the peach and apricot seeds that are used to make paraspan, a cheaper version of marzipan. Oh, and there's a fun one. Pistachio ice cream is most often the flavor not filled with pistachios at all, but rather with almond extract. The green dye and mixed-in pistachio nuts are there to maintain the illusion. But I stand in much more than just pistachios. After all, I represent life and rebirth. Just peruse the almond-shaped halo around the bodies of important religious figures in medieval Christian art. It's not there by accident. In fact, in Italian, the halo called the mandorola, which is the word for, say it with me now, almond, with the L. Glorious white gazpacho. At a blender or food processor, combine 1 cup of blanched almonds with 2 cloves garlic and add just enough cold water to cover. Blend or process until smooth puree forms, adding more cold water as necessary. Add about 2 cups cubed, crustless, rustic white bread or country loaf and process until very smooth, adding more cold water as needed to create the consistency of heavy cream. Season with salt, blend in 2 tablespoons each extra virgin olive oil, and 1 to 2 tablespoons sherry vinegar to taste. Refrigerate it until very well chilled, at least 2 hours. Serve cold. Garnish with each bowl with a halved green grapes, crushed toasted almonds, and a drizzle of olive oil. Now here's an interesting bit of trivia. No wonder she had all the answers. When Emmer Bocher, the giant killer who finally stopped James Holzhauser's 32-match winning streak in Jeopardy in 2019, was in graduate school, she wrote a thesis called Predicting the Difficulty of Trivia Questions Using Text Features. The trivia questions she analyzed, the ones that appeared on a TV quiz show named Jeopardy. And let's do a couple items from the world of medicine. Distaste for veggies might be genetic. Do your kids really, really, truly hate broccoli? Good news, it might not be your fault. Researchers have found that as many as 25% of people carry a gene that makes cruciferous vegetables, broccoli, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, and others, taste bitter. Unsurprisingly, these people who generally eat fewer veggies, they also tend to dislike coffee and dark chocolate. Oh my God. If this sounds like you, don't give up on produce altogether and miss out on health benefits. Instead, try sweeter veggies such as carrots and beets, which aren't affected by the gene. Counting steps in beating lung cancer. In a recent study, 50 lung cancer patients wore step counters to measure their activity. Those who had been the least active had the worst outcomes once chemo radiation began. 50% of them required hospitalization during treatment. 55% died within 18 months. Only 9% of those who were more active needed to be hospitalized, and fewer than 25% passed away. Earlier, the same researchers found that patients often walked less during the treatment, an indicator that they were at high risk for hospitalization within the next few days, said the study's lead author. If someone's step counts decrease dramatically, say from 5,000 to 2,000 steps a day, that could be critical in identifying who needs extra care. And with that, let's switch over to Consumer Reports for the second half of our program. Last week we talked about, we read letters from our March cover story, Leafy Green Safety Guide. And we read that actually probably about three weeks ago, I think we did that. Anyway, these are the letters concerning that. We read one last week, and here's another one. The information on how green becomes contaminated lists feces, feedlots, wild birds, and animals, etc., as sources of contamination. This seems to me to indicate the organic greens would tend to have higher instances of contamination than non-organic greens. Editor's note. Raw manure, which is used for fertilizer in both organic and conventional farming, can carry bacteria that cause foodborne illness. The FDA has replaced restrictions on how raw manure is used to prevent contamination. However, there are stronger regulations for organic farmers regarding the use of raw manure, which requires them to follow rules aimed at minimizing contamination. For conventional growers, those same rules are only recommended. Your report increased the concern I already had about eating these vegetables. I would be interested in alternatives to salads without the leafy greens, such as raw cucumber, tomatoes, and cauliflower. Are they safe or subject to the same contamination sources as greens? And could they provide a comparable level of nutrients and benefits? Editor's note, yes, you can make a very nutritious salad with a variety of vegetables, though any fresh produce can become contaminated. Leafy greens have been especially implicated in recent illnesses resulting from E. coli outbreaks. The best way to make most healthy salad is to grow the ingredients yourself. Lettuces are about the easiest vegetable to grow. Check on your local county extension office or master gardener group and start being empowered with your own food. Faulty products. Your excellent article, Cause for Concern, about manufacturers denying consumers the right to sue. We haven't actually read that. I'm going to skip that since we didn't actually read that yet. Stay informed about the coronavirus. As we went to press, daily life around the globe was being transformed as people tried to understand how to cope with the coronavirus pandemic. The resulting disease, COVID-19, is marked by respiratory problems and symptoms can be severe, especially in older adults and those with underlying health conditions. To help keep you and your family safe, this issue has expert advice on everything from water safer grocery shopping and gas pumping to the home cleaner that are effective at killing coronavirus. You can also check regularly for our free updates at cr.org/COVID-19. Okay, I'm skimming here because some of the stuff we haven't read yet because it's weird. Anyway, what we're testing at our labs. Excuse me. Single-dose dishwasher detergents. We tested 14 single-dose detergents, tablets, tabs, and packs. We test for the removal of caked-on food from dishes, water spots, and more. Best value and performance. Members Mark, Sam's Club, Ultimate Clean Packs, 10 cents per load. Score to 92. Made to tackle caked-on food. Cascade Platinum Action with Oxy, 34 cents per load. That's got a score to 90. And free of synthetic fragrance, 7th Generation Ultra Power Plus Plaques, 28 cents per load. Compact dishwashers. We tested 5 models. We test for how well a model's normal cycle cleans a full load of dishes with baked-on food, how thoroughly a model dries items, noise, and more. Short cycle time. Whirlpool, WDF-15SAHM, $825. Excellent brand reliability. Miele Dimension, CG4720SCI, $1,500. And bargain buy an excellent dry Frigidaire, FFBD-18221MW, $670. Freezers under $600. We tested 22 models. We test for temperature, uniformity, thermostat control, energy efficiency, unusable capacity, and more. Top-notch chest freezer, the manual defrost, the GE-FCM-11PH, is $540. Cool price manual defrost, Frigidaire FFFFU-06, $380. More storage and self-defrost, Whirlpool WZFF-34X-16DW, $580. Innerspring mattresses, we tested 86 models. A model support for petite, average, and large fall-side sleepers and back sleepers, durability, fitness, and more. A dream for all sleep styles. Ethan Allen, EA Signature Platinum Plus. It's only $3,000. I'll just go to petty cash and draw that. Best ZZZs for your buck. Beautyrest BB800, medium firm, $770. On the softer side, but still supportive, Sealy Posturepedic Performance Copper, $1,550. Smart thermostat. We tested 27 models. Smart features including messaging, learning, occupancy sensing, and more. Ease of controlling a model manually, including scheduling and more. Excellent smart features of the Nest Learning Thermostat for $250. Easy to use interface. Ecobee Smart with voice control, $250. Budget friendly buy. Honeywell Home T9, $170. Video doorbells. We tested 22 models. We tested video quality in regular and low light, audio quality, and response time between motion capture and speaking to a visitor. We also assess smart features. Quick response time, Nest Hello Video Doorbell, $230. Excellent video quality, WiseNet Smart Cam, $230. And nice price, Yuli T8200, $160. Are washers with a steam setting better at cleaning? Manufacturers of front-loading washing machines and some HE top loaders now offer a setting. Electrolux's Perfect Steam and Maytag Steam for Stains, for example, that adds hot steam to certain wash cycles with the goal of removing stain removal. To evaluate how steam affects cleaning performance, we tested 5 front loaders from brands on our lab, as well as 1 HE top loader and an agitator washer. Steam features are rare in agitator washers, which is why we tested only 1 of that type. We ran our usual washer performance test, which include evaluating 5 hard-to-remove stains before and after a wash cycle. We then repeated each test, adding the washer steam options. The results? The steam didn't improve stain removal in our cleaning tests, says Rich Handel, who tests washers for CR, but it did cause most of the 7 machines to use more water than usual, and all of them to use more energy. One washer steam option upped the water consumption by 18 gallons and increased energy use by almost 600%. Cycle times also were extended substantially on certain models. Instead of focusing on washers that offer steam option, pick a washer that fits your budget and performs well in our test. All Access digital members can go to cr.org/washer. Polarized sunglasses will protect my eyes, right? Polarized lenses can help you see better on bright days thanks to light-blocking filters they contain. They do this by reducing glare caused by light reflecting off a shiny horizontal surface, such as the ocean or snowy field. On its own, polarization won't shield your eyes from the sun's ultraviolet rays, which have been linked to vision problems such as cataracts, macular degeneration, and even cancerous growths. But be sure any polarized pair you are interested in also has a UV protection label, says Scott Brody, MD, PhD, professor of ophthalmology at NYU Langhorne Health in New York City. The American Academy of Ophthalmology recommends sunglasses that block UVA and UVB light as completely as possible, which will be labeled 100% UV protection or UV400. For a history of CR's reporting on testing of glasses, see time travel, which we'll be looking at later. Is an e-bike right for you? And we've been seeing some stuff about e-bikes being involved in a lot of accidents recently, so it might be kind of interesting to see about this. On an electric bike, a rider can glide uphill without breaking a sweat. Either a battery-powered pedal assist will kick in, or you can activate the throttle for a boost by twisting or pushing a mechanism on the handlebars. It's little wonder, then, that the sales of e-bikes in the U.S. grew more than 8-fold between 2014 and 2017, and consumer curiosity is on the rise despite their high prices. We evaluated a slice of the wide variety of e-bikes, riding 5 models ranging from $600 to $2,600, around a hilly loop on CR's test grounds. The first thing to consider is how far an e-bike can go on a single charge, says Bernie Dietrich, who leads CR's e-bike testing. In our test, all went between 15 and 30 miles before running out of juice. When a battery charge drains, the e-bike works like any other bicycle, powered solely by your pedaling. But e-bikes tend to be heavy. Some we tested were almost unrideable when the battery was fully spent, so investigate how a bike rides without the assistance. And don't forget safety. On average, e-bike riders go about 3 miles per hour faster than traditional riders. All cyclists, regardless of bike type, need a properly fitted helmet. Nakoda Fashion for $600. It's got good range, excellent braking, decent acceleration, fair control response, lousy on a hill climb, unassisted hill climb, okay, unassisted cruising, not very good. Electra Towny GA1500 has very poor range, good braking, good acceleration, fair control response, good hill climb, good unassisted hill climb, and excellent unassisted cruising. Jensen Adventure for $1,300, and that looks more like a conventional bike. Not very good range, fair braking, good acceleration, lousy control response, decent hill climb, unassisted hill climb, and unassisted cruising, excellent. Roadrunner electric utility bike, $1,300. Has good range, good braking, excellent acceleration, poor fair control response, excellent hill climbing, very poor unassisted hill climb. That was because of weight. Unassisted cruising is also good. Grape products. How processed is it? Grapes. Unlike many kinds of fruit, grapes are picked when they're fully ripe because they don't become any sweeter after they harvest. When they're hand-picked right away, sometimes even in the field to go to market, a half cup, about 15 grapes, has 12 grams of natural sugars and less than 1 gram of fiber. Though they're still a healthful whole food, they supply vitamin K and potassium along with antioxidants to protect against cell damage and help reduce the risk of heart disease and other diseases. Raisins. Dehydrated grapes, raisins are minimally processed and generally don't contain added sugars or preservatives, although yellow raisins may have sulfur dioxide. Drying concentrates many of the good nutrients in grapes, so they're a healthy option. But keep in mind that the calories and natural sugars also get condensed. 1/4 cup has 108 calories and 29 grams of natural sugars. Grape jam. Jam may be sound healthier than jelly, but nutritionally there's not much difference between them. Jam contains fruit, and jelly is made with grape juice, but both often had added sugar, sometimes in the form of high fructose corn syrup, making these spreads the most processed of the three grape foods shown here. 2 tablespoons of Smucker's jam has about 26 grams of sugars, 18 of them added, 100 calories, and no fiber at all. All fruit spreads are sweetened only with fruit juice and may have fewer sugars, but sugars contributed by juice still counts as added sugars. Oh, here's something I missed earlier concerning pods, dishwasher pods. In a pinch, can I use a laundry detergent pod in my dishwasher? Single-dose laundry pods and single-dose dishwater packs and tablets contain surfactants, molecules that help lift soil off the surfaces. They look similar enough, says Joe Pacella, a desk technician manager at CR, but laundry pods don't have the enzymes found in a dishwasher packs that actively target crusted food. What's more, laundry detergents may also contain brightness, fragrance, stain removers, and other chemicals that can leave a not very good residue on your dishes. Plus, laundry detergents create more suds than dish detergents, which can block water spray, getting to your dishes, and may even damage your dishwasher. In short, don't do it. Time Traveler. Eyewear. 1882. The Dutch ophthalmologist Herman Smalen invests the swollen eye Snellen eye chart to measure visual acuity. The basis for this chart is still found in an eye doctor's office today, and they have an EFP, TOZ, LPD, etc., etc. 1937. The Ray-Ban Aviator makes its debut in stores with a metal teardrop-shaped frame and anti-glare lenses, originally developed to protect the eyes of U.S. Air Force pilots while flying. In 1938, as Hollywood helps make dark sunglasses more popular, roughly 20 million pairs are sold in the U.S., but of the 39-pair CR tests, 10 are rejected outright for poor quality. In 1981, we test a new heavily advertised product called Lazy Lenses, modified eyeglass frames that give you right-angle vision for easy reading while you lie flat on your back. Our testers find them far more annoying and relaxing. 1962. Americans are spending close to $100 million a year on sunglasses, we report, though we held up our lens area chart in our lab above. Some shades don't give enough coverage to protect the eyes. 1971. Roughly 75 million Americans wear prescription glasses with unheated glass treated glass lenses that can shatter. The Food and Drug Administration rules that all new lenses must be shatterproof. 1972. Of the 750,000 Americans who buy hard contact lenses each year, half revert to glasses, so newly invented soft plastic contacts cause a stir. But our cover story notes there are contamination risks. In 1989, Golem A. Piment, M.D., ophthalmologist and retired retina surgeon, patents LASIX, an eye surgery that corrects vision. In 2010, Warby Parker, a direct-to-consumer eyeglass company, is co-founded by four men, including Neil Blumenthal and David Silva, after one founder lost his glasses and balked at replacement cost. 2020, the results from last year's member survey are in. Of the 33 eyeglass retailers, 17 contact lenses retailers, Costa Optical gets the overall satisfaction rating for both. A better HVAC filter. Ridden away in your basement or attic, your HVAC system needs an air filter to keep your central air conditioner and furnace humming along by protecting the mechanicals and dust from debris. The best filter also traps indoor pollutants such as dust, pet dander, and pollen, helping to clean the air in your home. In CR's tests, we gauge how well the air filter removes pollutants from the air and how freely the air flows through the filter at all fan speeds. Thicker filters, those that are 4 or 5 inches, perform better in our tests, and we found that you don't have to replace them as often, says Dave Trezza, who oversees CR air filter tests. But not every HVAC system can accommodate that thickness. The most common size is 1 inch thick, and that's the size you need. The Filtrate 1900 model below is your best bet. Steer clear of Filtrate 600 Dust and Pollen $9 not listed, which got a poor overall score. As you shop, pay attention to the filtering grade levels by the manufacturer. The most commonly used system applies a MERV number, minimum efficient reporting value, to each filter. But 3M and Home Depot each have developed their own systems called MPR, microparticle performance rating, and FPR, filter performance rating, respectively. No matter the grading system, the higher the number, the better the filter should be at getting rid of air pollutants. And then they have a price, the Aprovera at $41. It gets good price on everything. The Aprovera Allergy and Asthma also gets a good price, but it's $92. Lennox Healthy Climate gets good ratings as well, although no excellent ratings, and that's $100. Filterit Healthy Living Ultra Allergen is only $29, and it gets good ratings all the way through. The Carrier Easy Flex Filter gets good ratings in all but smoke removal, and the Filtrate 1900 Maximum at $20 also gets good ratings except for smoke removal and actually get extra rating for dust. 3M Filtrate gets excellent rating for dust, poor ratings for smoke removal and airflow resistance. And it's $30. 3M Filtrate Smart Premium Allergen is $25. This gets good ratings for dust and pollen, but for smoke removal, poor. For airflow resistance, it's good. Honeywell is the same rankings, but it's $40. And Filtrex, which is $17, gets good ratings for dust and pollen removal, smoke removal, poor removal, and airflow resistance, it gets good. Strawberry products. How processed is it? Fresh strawberries. Strawberries have a shelf life of just 8 to 10 days. As a result, they're picked by hand and rushed to market, essentially processing free. Deliciously sweet and inherently healthy, 1/2 cup of sliced berries has about 30 calories, 5 grams of natural sugars, and about 2 grams of fiber. They're rich in vitamin C and other antioxidants, more so than half your daily need in a half a cup, and a compound called pelargonin, which gives them their striking red color. Note, too, that frozen berries are as healthy as fresh ones as long as they don't contain added sugars. Consider organic. Conventional strawberries can contain high pesticide residue levels. Number 2, fruit yogurt. Most of the benefits of strawberry yogurt, calcium, potassium, and probiotics, live active cultures, come from the yogurt, not the berries. And fruit yogurts are far more processed than plain yogurt, to which you can add sliced fruit. First, consider added sugars, which vary by brand. For example, a 45.5 ounce of Nosa whole milk strawberry yogurt has 11 grams of added sugars, while Siggy's whole milk strawberries and rhubarb has just 5 grams. And some yogurts have additives as well as natural flavors and colors. These come from natural sources but can be chemically extracted, making them highly processed. Number 3, frozen fruit bar. With claims such as made with real fruit, these bars sound healthier than standard ice pops, but most don't have much fruit. In fact, they're more processed than yogurt due to the added sugars they tend to include, such as cane sugar or high fructose corn syrup, and the fact that they have little nutritional value. In the bars we looked at, there were about 14 to 24 grams of sugars and little or no vitamins, minerals, or fiber. Truly wireless buds. Headphones that allow complete wire-free listening are growing in popularity. They've gotten a lot better with less static and stuttering since we first tested them in 2016, says Elias Arias, CR engineer. True wireless headphones connect to a device, such as a smartphone, using a wireless technology standard called Bluetooth. In some models, both earpieces get this signal from the phone at the same time. In others, one earpiece talks to the phone while a second connection sends audio from that primary earbud to the second bud. Both methods must contend with interference from other devices and obstacles. But a number of models use a third strategy called a field magnetic induction, NFMI, which transmits data from the primary to secondary bud using a magnetic field. Though not totally immune to interference, NFMI doesn't experience the same issues that Bluetooth bud-to-bud connections may have. Manufacturers don't often disclose which methods their earbuds employ, but our testing can help guide you to an optimal pair. One of our top picks is the Anker Soundcore Liberty Air CR Best Buy at $80. Digital and all access members can see full listings. Individual Bluetooth connections. Bluetooth signals sent simultaneously to both earbuds. Relayed Bluetooth connection. Bluetooth signals relayed directly from primary bud to the other bud. And NFMI and Bluetooth connection, it goes in both directions. Telemedicine video chats. With a growing need for virtual doctor's visits, video chat apps can be a good solution. They can be safer or less stressful than an in-person pandemic area visit. To encourage the use of telehealth, the government's as of press time, is temporarily letting doctors use providers such as FaceTime, WhatsApp, and apps such as Skype and Zoom. However, none of these services are required to follow HIPAA guidelines, which protects the privacy of your health data. There's tremendous value in being able to talk to a doctor remotely, especially right now, says Justin Brookman, Director of Privacy and Technology Policy. So connecting despite the privacy risks may be worth it to you. To follow HIPAA, a teleconferencing service needs to sign a business associate agreement, or BAA, with the healthcare provider using it, in which the service agrees to abide by the same kinds of privacy rules a doctor would. They need to secure all the information that's in your electronic health records, as well as conversations with doctors, and counsel any data that can identify you. If your doctor can't meet you on the service that complies with HIPAA, considering an old-fashioned phone call first. Services to say comply with HIPAA, Amazon, Chime, Cisco WebEx Meetings and WebEx Teams, DoxyMe, Google Suite Hangouts Meet, GoToMeeting, Skype for Business and Microsoft Teams, Spruce Healthcare Messenger, UpDoc Device, and Zoom for Healthcare. Secrets to a more satisfying smoothie. Store-bought smoothies may not be a healthy option you're hoping for. They're often made with juice rather than just whole fruit, which ups the sugars count. A 15-2-ounce bottle of Naked Green Machine, for example, has 270 calories and 53 grains of sugars. If you have the time and good blender, making a smoothie at home is often healthier, says Amy Keating, CRD, a CR nutritionist. With her three tips below, you can easily make a smoothie tasty, filling, and nutritious. Lean Green recipe makes two servings, 1.5 cups of chopped pineapple, one half a cup of milk or unsweetened plant milk of choice, 1 cup of non-fat plain Greek yogurt, 4 cups of loosely packed chopped kale, 2 tablespoons of chia seeds pre-soaked in milk. Perfect pairing. You can boost the nutrition benefits of your smoothie by adding vitamin-rich leafy greens such as kale or spinach, or antioxidants-rich veggies like beets, but those ingredients don't need to be the dominant flavor. Spinach pairs well with blueberries, and kale gets a nice flavor kick from tangy pineapple. Thick texture. Protein-rich foods such as nuts or nut butters and Greek yogurt not only help you feel fuller longer, but they also help thicken your drink for a more satisfying mouthfeel. Or boost the texture with a handful of dry oats, which are a healthy whole grain, Keating says. Just put the oats in first, hitting pulse to pulverize them. Minimal waste. One of the great things about smoothies is that you can use bruised banana or slightly overripe strawberry without taste or texture difference, says Keating. You can also freeze leftover fruits and veggies for future blends. Just prop the frozen pieces straight into the blender for a frozen, refreshing, icy texture. great on a hot summer day. Battery Lawn Tool Suites. Battery-powered lawn tools have come a long way in the past decade. Once considered the weaklings of power tools, our testers say many work just as well as gas-powered models now. They also start instantly, run quietly, have zero emissions at the source. There's the picture here showing a young lady blowing leaves, which we're getting near that season. If you make the switch to battery, though, it's best to plan on buying all your tools from a single brand. That's because manufacturers use a standardized battery and charger across each of their tools. So if, for example, your string trimmer battery dies mid-chore, you can pop it in a battery from your lawnmower or leaf blower and finish the job. You can also save money by buying a few tools within a suite with batteries and a few without, then sharing the batteries among them. Skimming the cost of a battery and charger will save you about 30% on a tool. Below, we've highlighted three battery-powered tool suites worth considering, comprised of products that do well on our test. Each lawnmower, leaf blower, and string trimmer has batteries that are interchangeable with each other tools in its suite. There's the EGO Overall Performance, or EGO. They have a lawnmower, a blower, and a string trimmer. The STIHL, STIHL, has a lawnmower, a leaf blower, and a string thinner. And Ryobi has a lawnmower, a blower, and a string trimmer. And they've highlighted these battery-powered tool suites considering compromiser products that do well on our tests. And with that, we've just about run out of time for today's episode of Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next time, and thanks so much for listening.